Well, the top scriptures, Isaiah 41:10, is on top of your sheet, just for you to read. We've been talking about peace, and I tried to get away from peace, but I felt like there's some more things that we need to say. When we ask us to define peace, they say it's freedom from frustration, freedom from irritation, freedom from aggregation, freedom from trouble. As accurate as that is, it's not enough. Peace is the presence of God, and it's only in the presence of God that those freedoms would come to you. So it's the presence of God that brings you such a superior freedom that things don't irritate you or aggravate you, and that you know where to go. And that's what we talk about today. When you get, you ever get uptight, strung out? I'm the only one?
No.
You know where to go. You go to God. You go to the presence of God. Now, we often go to the scriptures as much as we believe in that and the importance of the scripture. The scripture is the voice of God. And when you go to God, you go to Him and you see Him as you read the scripture and you read it to Him. Say, God, you said. See, and that way you're going to implant peace from the presence of God all the way to the power of God. The presence of God, the promises of God, and the power of God. We tend to go straight to the power of God. We're usually awestruck by power. Wayne's two cousins were shocked by electrical current. She was holding a line on the ground. He was on the roof. This is years ago. They both recovered. Well, I think one of them has since died, but it was decades ago, and they recovered. But they had to go to separate hospitals. And the doctor told her because the current had destroyed her midsection that she could never carry a child. And so she believed for a child anyway. And then the doctor said, I told you this wasn't good for us to do this. And so she has a little boy. He's now in his 20s. Because she believed past the trouble. She believed past the impossibility. Now, the thing that causes depression and worry and fear and trouble is my thought life. I'm thinking, this is going to be really hard. I don't know how we're ever going to do this. This month, we had everything in our house has quit functioning, except Wayne and I. That's amazing. And I suppose that was the most important part, wasn't it? We've had 3 air conditioner repairmen. The 3-nail man is coming. The septic tank quit working. The car broke down. And I am well over budget. $12,000 over my monthly budget. And I'm here to say it's all paid. I have just one more bill to pay, and I have the money, because God is the God of answers. And we have to major on, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. My God shall supply all your need. And when you stand there, if you get thinking about the money, that's a lot of money. And you know what happens without your air conditioner? Well, it didn't quit working. It started leaking, and it was taking my living room ceiling down. So the ceiling also has to be repaired. But my God, see, I can think about my disease. I can think about my pain. I can think about the doctor's diagnosis. I can think about how much it's going to cost me. And those thoughts will cause trouble, worry, depression. They won't help you. But it's when I look straight at the Father, my Father, which art in heaven, could you send me $12,000? And he said, I will, Becky. I will.
Amen.
Now, years ago, we needed a roof, and every time it rained, you don't have to pray about something being the will of God, because every time it rained, the roof fills in the yard. And so at the supper table every night, our children were small, we would thank God for the new roof. We asked Him, then we would thank Him for the new roof. We did that for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And somebody sent a check in the mail, which was good, but not adequate. Then we got a slight income tax refund, very slight, added to the pile, but not adequate. But we kept saying, God will supply our need. We're going to pay for this new roof. And then the roofer agreed to nail on the shingles if Wayne would take them off. Well, he's capable. He was a lot younger then. My brother called from Texas, and he was in school, and he took every job they would offer him. He had done everything. And he said, you know, I'm coming home for 2 weeks. I'll help Wayne take off the roof. And when they were about through taking off the roof, but they'd done about half of the roofer called. And he said, my crew finished a job early. See, we kept saying, my God shall supply. We have a new roof. We have a new roof. I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. I am whole. Well, there isn't anything in my body that would validate that. There's just absolutely nothing. Well, Philip and Wayne were working diligently when the roofer called and said, I've got a crew sitting under a tree. They finished a job early. I'm going to send them to help you take off that roof, the rest of the roof, and I won't charge you. Because my God shall supply. My God shall supply. The more you think about your disease, your symptoms, your pain, your trauma, your lack, the worse it gets. Now, here's what happened yesterday. We're going to blame this on Wayne Cumbie. He said, oh, we're going to have to sit through this light. It's going to turn red before I get through the green. He said that. And guess what? The car in front of us was the last car to go through the green. We had to stop. And then I suggested to him, maybe, just maybe. I'm not driving, so I'm not guilty of anything driving. Other things, but not that. I said, just maybe you should say, we will get through this. Green light. We will not have to sit through this. Cumbie Road is a disaster these days. We will get through this without sitting here three times. So we come to the next light, and Wayne said, as it turned red, we will get a green light. You have to sit with God and wait upon the Lord until His presence makes a difference. See, it makes a difference when you believe something, when you're enthused about something, when you know it's true, it makes a tremendous difference. Now, we talked about peace, and we can have peace or fear. And it's all going to depend upon what I believe and what I say. We can have peace and depression. We can have peace and trouble. We have peace and worry. We can have peace and frustration. See, there's nothing in that list, and we could make it longer, that we want. And yet, that is the list we tend to camp on. My knee is killing me. Did you know that? That's my standard example because my knee doesn't hurt. And it isn't going to hurt. And when you're laying on your sofa packed in ice, we did that for a season because I had a sciatic nerve trauma. It's easy to say, wait, I can't stand this. Can I have two more of, you know, those medications they give you? All they do is keep you from functioning, which at a season, that was okay. Well, you can't open your mouth if you're asleep all the time. And it's my mouth that says what God said. My mouth that said what God said. So finally, they thought I might be healed, and I was healed. And so they sent me down. I had to go for a test to see if I could walk and breathe at the same time. You know, that's very important. And guess what? I could walk and breathe. Now, if I'm going to choose, I'm going to choose peace. But if I choose peace and not irritation, aggravation, I've got to choose the presence of God. Now, Isaiah 41:10 tells us what God is going to do by His presence. This is not an exhaustive list, but it is one of the complete lists in the Scripture. And the first thing says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Now, you know Hebrews. What does he say? I will never leave you or forsake you. Do you know how long never is? It's a long time. I will never leave you or forsake you. Now we've given you scriptures just so you could go over some of these things and put some of these things in your heart, whatever you need to do. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. There's your answer. That's Psalms 34. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So God will bring to you great peace. I'm not saying you didn't have to work at it. Fear thou not, I am with thee. Now, in the night, Wayne sleeps all night. Is that terrible? I'm laying there by myself. If I hear something, the first thing I want to know is Wayne still over there? Is he with me? Amen. He always is. I'm the one who tends to disappear, because if I get restless in the middle of the night, I'm going to go to the kitchen and have hot tea. Prop my feet up in the Queen Anne. And pray in the Spirit if I can get my mouth open. And if not, I'm just going to say, help, help. Because he's with me. The presence of the people with you. See, you can be, one scripture in the New Testament talks about evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, the people I'm around, the people I associate, if I can't influence them, I can't let them drag me under and influence me. I don't need them unless I can hear what they say and they're willing to hear what I say. Unless we can communicate on that level. Unless they're listening and I can speak. I'm going to pray for you, but I'm not going to hang around and let you drag me through the mud. Amen. Fear thou not. How long is he with us? See, he's with you when you know he's with you. He's with you when you can't tell he's with you. Because he said he was never leaving. So he's there even on a day when you think you're all alone, am I? I won't sing the rest of that. Y'all don't know it anyway. Be not dismayed. When you're dismayed, you're not calm. You're apprehensive and alarmed. Now, what would cause you to be dismayed and apprehensive and alarmed? What you're thinking, what you're looking at. Wouldn't it? When you open your checkbook, does it ever say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. And you have to guard your mind in the nighttime hours if you're not a sound sleeper. Because that's when your mind will mislead you and trouble you. We cannot allow the devil's report to dominate what God is saying. We have the presence of God and we have the Word of God. This is the voice of God. This is God talking to me. And when I go to God and read the Scripture to Him, that's Him speaking to me through His Word. And He says, you don't have to be depressed. And why was the reason He gave? Dismayed, for I am God. Do you know what that means? Did your mother ever say, Becky Sue, I am your mother? Do you know what that means? Does everybody know what that means? It meant she had complete authority and I better listen. I don't remember her ever saying that. I'm not ashamed to say that I was obedient most of the time. Most of the time. I'm God. Now, he said that to Abraham. It's in Genesis 17, verse 7. He said to Abraham, I'm God. See, he gave Abraham a promise that was unreal. I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. It was an occupied land. He didn't even tell him the Hittites, the Perizzites, everybody. It's a land full of people. Full of people. He told him it's full of people, but he said, I'm giving it to you. Well, it's like God said, I'm going to give you the state of Maine. There's people there. And they're not going to let you come. They're going to fight you. But he said, in that promise, in that covenant, he said, but I am God. Means all that I am is God. The power of the universe that's rested in me, the omnipotent Father, I'm going to use all my power to bring to you my promise. I am God. And he had talked to him about the covenant and about the land and a man who had no child and was elderly. He had said, your wife, who was also elderly, will bear a son, and from them will come multitudes of people. So that's the key. I am God. I am God. Now, years ago, I appreciate him too. A neighbor came and he wanted to take the boys to the beach. He had boys and he wanted Joel and some other boys to go with his boys. And I did not know him well, but I figured he was a heavy drinker. And so I asked him. See, I can't allow my mind and my decision to take me in the wrong direction. And I asked him, when you go to the beach, are you going to be drinking? He said, oh, yes, probably. And I said, well, Joel can't go. And I said, one thing I really appreciate that you didn't ask him first, that you came to me, and I want to thank you for that. So you have to be kind to people. You have to reach, you have to, if you draw a barrier between you and them, you will never reach them. You will never be able to speak to them in the name of the Lord because you aggravate them, make them mad. You see that, don't you? Well, God's merciful. The thing that bothers me about some theologies is it thwarts and cancels the mercy of God. We won't even discuss that. But there's some things that are said and taught and believed in, and you think, that means God is no longer... He was merciful, but you missed it. But God is still merciful. And when I go and repent, He cancels my sin, and He reinstates me. 1 John 1:7. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to forgive us and to cleanse us. That's who He is. He's merciful. That's why it didn't bother me. Somebody that had been to heaven said they saw so-and-so there. Now, I'm not going to tell you who that was. But you would have done like I, like most people, they went, oh, you're kidding, right? He's in heaven? He's in heaven? You know why that is? Because the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Amen. And it doesn't fail. And if I fail, let my mind go astray, begin to say, you know, I will never be well. Nothing they've done has helped me. And the more you say it, the more you think it helps you to say it. You notice that? But God is worthy of it all. The God who's worthy is merciful. The God who's worthy is all powerful. The God is worthy who said, I am God. I am God. That means I'm omnipotent, I'm all powerful, I'm omnipresent, I'm everywhere present, and I'm omniscient. I have all knowledge, and all of my knowledge and all of my power and my presence will be there for you. So I have to know that in the middle of the trauma when I'm troubled and depressed and uptight and fearful, worried, concerned. Somebody said, I wasn't worried, I was concerned. Write this down. Concern is worry in first grade. That's what it is. A concern doesn't count. Okay. Be not dismayed, I will God, I will strengthen thee. We will get back to that. I will help thee. Nothing like good help. And the help of God's the best help you can get. I will help thee. I will assist you. I will lead you in the right direction. I'll be there when you trip over your shoestrings. You know that expression?
Yep.
You ever tripped over your shoestrings? It's not anything you'd want to do. Not even in your mind. He said, I will help you. I will assist you. And I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. I will uphold you. That word uphold is very interesting. I looked that up for you. It means to keep you from falling, to support you, to help you in every way. To keep you from falling. I'll uphold you. Now come here, Wayne. Would you come here, please? Wayne was raised on a farm. And he has superior upper body strength. And the reason I know that, because when Joel was little, he wanted to go to the gym. He was too little, and they wouldn't let him go to the gym. And they finally conceded, because Joel is very persistent. Do you know him? He's very persistent. And so the man said, if your daddy comes with you. And the thing they noticed was not this little boy trying his best, but the grown man waiting on him, and he said, you have the strongest upper body strength we've seen. Now look, if he's upholding me, he doesn't jerk me around, but I just did that to show you. God said, I'll uphold you, and God is far stronger than Wayne ever was. You know, if you toss fertilizer bags around and you string pole beans and you pick strawberries before you go to elementary school. They picked the strawberries before school started. Then your body begins to respond. And if I begin to say, I'm not afraid, God is here. He's here and He doesn't leave me or forsake me. And I'm not distressed in any way. I'm not dismayed. I'm not troubled because he's God and he's all powerful and his word is working right now. We walk by faith and not by sight. And anytime I depend upon physical evidence, I'm going to be depressed because you may not have physical evidence. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with righteous hand. That means when God upholds you, he holds you in the right place at the right time with the right word. It's not polluted in any way. If it's unrighteous, unrighteousness is polluted. Have you ever taken anything out of your refrigerator that had pink stuff growing on the top? I don't know how I did that because nobody ever recognized that. They all recognize the green stuff, right? And if you open a jar of pizza sauce, which we buy pizza sauce for everything, you can do meatballs in the oven with pizza sauce. It's excellent. We don't use it for pizza, but we do a lot of things with it. And if you leave it over a couple of weeks and you open the jar, it's going to have green stuff growing on it. Because it doesn't last. So when you get pizza sauce, you're going to have pizza baked meatballs today. And we're going to have pizza on low-carb bread, low-carb. It's made for... Well, it's not made for pizza, but anyway, it's thin, and it only has 8 carbs per about this big. So we do that every now and then. And then pizza sauce is good on broccoli, and broccoli needs help. You notice that? Yes. Well, you open your refrigerator, and you got something green, something pink growing. You know, that's all wrong. And when I begin to think about, I don't know what we're ever going to do, and my knee is killing me, and I have this terrible headache. Now, I tell you all the time, you've got to have a confidant. You've got to have somebody that won't ridicule you, that will see you need prayer and you need help, and that will stand with you. We're not criticizing that. We're not saying you have to go with a closed mouth. A lady got in line, desperately sick, and wouldn't say what was wrong with her. That's very difficult to pray about. Help her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. I prayed that a lot. I'm not nosy. I don't ask questions. I don't care what the trauma is. I know God's the healer, and so I don't have any trouble praying. But when you won't even say, and this was in a church prayer line, if you need money or if you don't feel well or if your children are disobedient and one's running, I mean, I don't know what we're shooting at. See, I've got to have some information to know how to pray for you. And then I'm anchoring my faith. And I know the God that doesn't fail me won't fail you. Amen. And he will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. Now, what happened to Peter walking on the water? We have the presence of God, the promise of God, and the power of God. And Peter's walking on the water, and they thought he'd seen a ghost. They were on the water. Jesus had been in the mountains praying. He come walking across the water, and they thought it was a ghost. And Peter said, "If it's you..." I love that. What's God going to say? It's not really me. It was the stupidest human line I've heard. This, you know, if it's you. And so God said, come. He has the presence of God. He's focused in God. If it's you, he's focused. Bid me come unto thee. And God said, come. He has the presence and the promise. And he obviously has the power, because without the power, he's not going to walk on the water. But what happened to him? It says he saw the wind boisterous. Do you know you can't see the wind? You see the clouds. You can see the trees blowing. You will never see the wind. The thing he could not see caused him to sink. Seeing the thing I can't see, the tumor, the growth, the arthritis, the Parkinson's. And because that's my focus, I who had God that said, I won't leave you and I won't fail you and I'll give you the strength. That's the strength to go forward, the strength to maintain, the strength to not back up. He said, I will strengthen you and I'll hold you tight in my right hand. I'm sorry, left-handed people, but The right hand in the scripture is the superior hand. Sorry, Suzanne. Our family does left hand quite well, as you see. Now, what are we going to do? Well, look over to 4031. It's not on your sheet. You can bring your Bible if you want, if you really want to, unless you have it memorized. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Okay, here's the key to flying, running, and walking at due speed. Here's the key. They that wait upon the Lord. Now, if you mount up, do you know anything about eagles? The female eagle is larger than the male eagle. And they run about 10 to 14 pounds, 8 to 14. The male sometimes is just 8 pounds, but the female can often be 14 pounds. And they have a wingspan of 7.5 to 10 feet that they can spread their wings. Now, when they're flying, they're up so high, they're in where the air is pure. Now, this is important to you. And when I'm waiting on God, I can be in His presence where the air is pure, where His holiness reigns. Now they have superior eyesight. And from that height, they can see what you can't see. You know, you can see the businesses and the stoplights and stop signs and the you can see the children in the yard and the grass growing, but you can't see what's happening around the block. The only way I'm going to have superior vision is to wait on God and allow the Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside to tell me what God's doing, what God's saying, where I am with God, what move I should make. I've got to fly in God's presence, in pure air, and hear God's voice through His Word or by His Spirit so that I'll know. When you wait upon God, there's a sentence that just riveted me by this man. And I just want to read you how he wrote it. No one knows but he who has the secret of his divine communion how deep an understanding the Spirit can bring. A quiet God breathes about the heart when love speaks with Him. In a peace beyond understanding, the praying spirit listens to the still small heart of God. So it's really important. I don't have to wait for a trauma to get in His presence. Well, it's kind of late. Maybe you should have started yesterday, you know. Because in that pure air, the eagle can see what you can't see. Now, here's important. You know how they die? They live 30 years, approximately. Gunshot wounds, electrocution, poison, and car accidents. They have no natural predator. Did you know that? And they sit on their eggs, three of them, one to three, 30 days. That means this waiting may take some time to hatch out what you need. See, the fact that he said eagle here is important. That's amazing, isn't it? That I can fly high. That I can see in the Spirit what I couldn't see or figure out with my mind as I wait. And there is a sense, and oh, I've been there. I've just been there. A sense of the quietness of God that overcomes you until you're almost frozen in your chairs. Like, because His presence. That's supposed to keep me steady and on course. You see? Now, you remember Jehoshaphat. Word, he was the king of Judah. Word came to him that so many countries, there were several, was coming against him. And it says he was afraid. Well, that's how you feel when the doctor says, you know, whatever he says. We don't even want to say it. Suddenly you have a moment of fear. Now, Wayne's had cancer. And when he came home after the lab work, he said to me, Becky, I have 3 tumors and they are malignant. And then for just a minute, I'm as steady in the ship as they come and I'm not a weeper. When you finish crying, you know what you have to do? You have to blow your nose and go back to where you were before you were crying. You wasted your time. Although if you like to waste your time that way, I don't care. You just go right ahead and weep. But I'm not a weeper. But there for a minute, I went, and he said, Becky, stop it this minute. We're not doing that. And we anchored ourselves for months of treatment, months of treatment. And this is typical Wayne Cumbie. You don't talk about your family. I just talk about mine. They know that. They know they're open targets. He said, we're not telling anybody. I don't want anybody to know. I couldn't hardly deal with that. So I called Mary Lynn, Susan, my eternal friends, the people I've known the longest, and I said, no, don't tell this to anybody. And Wayne especially didn't want Suzanne and Joel to know. He said, they're not to know. And we walked week after week after week, month after month after month. And the only thing that held us steady was waiting on the Lord, was the quietness of His presence, was flying high with God and believing what we couldn't see. Couldn't see it. And they check him still every 6 months. They do that 5 years, you know. And he always does well. But we wouldn't be upset if he didn't do well. Because my God, the omnipotent Father, said, I will help you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. When he strengthens you, he renews your strength. It says, they that wait upon him shall renew their strength. In other words, they bring it back new, bring it back to full measure. If you renew a subscription, a magazine subscription, then you have another full year. You bring it back to full measure. And so he's going to renew your strength. Whatever deteriorated your strength, where it was your thought life, your concern is worry in first grade. Don't let that trap you. God will renew your strength. And with God renewing your strength, you have the strength to stand. You can stand, having done all to sit. Stand. Ephesians 6 says, having done all to sit.
Stand.
No, it says, having done all to stand. And it says, be strong in the Lord. And it is the Lord in my communication with Him and my looking in His presence, sitting in His presence. And that doesn't mean you have to say anything. Some people can't talk. Some people talk too much. And you find out where you are and make some shifts. And it's His presence. It's sitting in His presence that brings peace beyond understanding, that causes fear to go, worry to cease, because He's here. He's here. Now, when Ashley was little, Suzanne's worked for me for over 20 years. Before Ashley was in school, she would come with her mother to work, and she liked to be in the yard. And we can't let her at my house be, we couldn't let her probably at your house, but at my house she can't be unsupervised. We are on 20 acres, a lot of which is wooded, and we have bodies of water on two sides. And so I'm on guard duty. I'm sitting on the porch. And she says, Mima, can I go across and play with that little boy? Well, he's on the other side of the body of water. And the answer to that is, no, you can't. You can't go over there. But she inquired. She inquired of me because I was in charge. She inquired of me because I was in the chair on the porch. Now, who's in the chair at your house? Is it God? See, Where are the answers? Well, Jehoshaphat, with all these coming against him, he was afraid, and he said to the Lord, "We have no might against these people." In other words, his army was inferior. He knew he couldn't defeat them. He knew he couldn't win. And he called all of Judea together, all of Judah together, and he said, "Bring your wives and your," and I love this, you can figure it out, I can kind of guess at it. He said, "We want you to bring your children and your little ones." So everybody was there. And what are they there for? To wait upon God, to see what God would say, because they don't have the strength to defeat the enemy. And in God's presence, a guy prophesied and said, "God is going to defeat this enemy for you. You will not have to fight." I love God. But you should go to the battlefield. Now, if I'm not going to fight, I'd just soon be in the rocking chair at the house. You know, just bring me a messenger that it's over. God won. No, he said, you have to be there. You have to be there. See, when I'm following God, he has a plan. He has a way. And when they got to the battlefield, the enemy's all dead. They're all dead. They killed one another. They had some kind of spat, and this one killed that one killed that one, and everybody thought everybody's, you know, and they were all dead. But they had come to the battlefield with all their riches and wealth. How dumb was that? To bring your jewelry box to the battlefield. And what God planned for Israel to be there is that Israel then would have the enemy's wealth and riches to support themselves. See, God has purpose in waiting. He had purpose. And when they went to the battlefield, they don't know that everybody's going to be dead. They don't know anything. But they went singing, and they put the choir in front. Have you ever been in the choir? Doesn't sound like a good place for the choir. Now, in Scotland, often they put the bagpipe players in the front. And I don't know if it's an unwritten rule you're not supposed to kill the bagpipe players. I mean, I don't know my battle rules. But when you hear them play, bagpipes don't sound like if you hit middle C, it is middle C. It has one sound. But bagpipes kind of waver. It might be middle C. It might be B over here. It might be, you know, D over here, B over here. And that's the way bagpipes are. So when I wait on God, I'm waiting for a determined sound. I'm not going to waver. I'm on middle C. Now, yesterday, we're not near anybody. We have neighbors on the far side. And here's what I hear. Ding, 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 ding. And I don't have an ear for music. I don't know if that was C, D, E, or F. I don't know what it was. But here's a kid. I know. I said to Wayne, he's had his first piano lesson. And he's on middle C. That's where they start you. Ding, ding, ding. He did that. I thought he'd never forget it. They want him to do that till you can close your eyes and say, ding, right there, right there. And when I close my eyes, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. These scriptures give you a lot of scriptures on God's help, on his hand, on being without fear, on being without worry and dismayed. They will help you. And this is just the beginning of many, many scriptures. We just gave you a smattering. Because as you go home and you read those, and you read them every day, there's going to be one that's going to impact your heart in a new way. You know, that's the one you put on your bathroom mirror or on your... Somebody said you put on your car steering wheel. I don't know. I don't know exactly how you do that and read, but... Because God is anchoring you with his word, and his word is his voice. So do you hear this, Becky? Don't be afraid. I'm here. I won't ever leave you, Becky. Do you get that? See, and the devil will try to trick you. But if you have the scripture and you're anchored in the scripture, you're not easily tricked. You're not tricked. You can't be tricked. Right? Yes. Did you get all that? Yes. You're going to wait on the Lord? Yes. That's your favorite chair. You don't have to say anything. Take a deep breath of the holiness of God, of the pure air, and know that God is going to minister to your spirit. And you're going to be able to see that eagle can see things that you can't see from the ground. And you're going to be in God's presence, able to see things that you can never see if you're trying to read and figure it out with your mind. You see that, don't you?